No Commitments by Simon Brett, starring Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget as Victoria, Celia Imrie as Charlotte, and Maxine Audley as Delia. Episode 3, A Nice Civilized Evening.
So, I can expect you at 8.
Yes, Victoria, I'll be there at 8.
There's some interesting local people coming.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting them.
Well, quite interesting. Some neighbours and a friend of Roger's who's recently... Anyway, it should be a nice, civilised evening. 8 o'clock.
Then. 8 o'clock, no problem. I'm just about to leave.
But it won't take you that long to drive up from Kent.
Yeah, I know, but I'm giving Delia a lift.
I didn't invite Delia.
I'm giving Delia a lift to Harley Street. She's got to see a doctor.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Yes, I hope it is. Then I fixed to pick up Charlotte at her place.
Did you?
From Harley Street, I virtually have to go through Pimlico to get to you.
Yes.
Now, Victoria, you're not to worry. Charlotte will behave herself perfectly this evening. She's as anxious to make things up as you are. And I think it was very gracious of you to invite her to this dinner party to show that there are no hard feelings.
Well, let's hope Charlotte can also show a little grace for once. Sometimes she behaves like a child of... Roger? What on earth are you doing home at this time? I'll have to dash. Roger suddenly appeared for no apparent reason.
All right, see you later.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, I'll be there.
Bye.
Bye.
Got your marching orders, have you?
I'll say. Victoria runs a dinner party exactly like a military campaign.
Well, nothing wrong with planning. At least it means she's taken everything into account, doesn't it?
Yes, except casualties.
Well, since you are here, Roger, you can make yourself useful. Why did you come home from the office early anyway? Well, I haven't got time for long explanations. You can fetch Benji from school.
Right.
And as you go past the bus stop, look out for Emily and Harriet. They sometimes get out a bit early on a Friday.
Actually, Victoria...
Excuse me. Can I just get to that drawer?
Yeah.
Now, do keep an eye on Melvin tonight, okay? I mean, it's only 4 months since his wife died, so he may still be a bit gloomy.
Yes.
And I hear along the grapevine that he's rather hitting the bottle.
Oh?
So restrain the instinct of generosity and you're pouring on with him, okay?
Yes.
But with Hillary, you know, woman Hillary, not man Hillary, do the exact reverse. She needs about half a gallon of neat alcohol before she even pokes her nose out of her shell, so see...
Victoria, I actually don't feel very well.
Oh. Roger, for heaven's sake. The last 4 weeks when we have done nothing at all socially, you've been perfectly fit.
Well, to tell the truth...
Another one day I set up a dinner party, suddenly you don't feel very well. You're so selfish, Roger.
I just...
Listen! Tonight is going to be a success. It is going to be a nice, civilized evening that everybody enjoys. Got that?
Yes, but...
And nobody... is going to interfere with anyone else's enjoyment by not feeling very well, least of all you, Roger.
It's just...
You are going to enjoy yourself. You are going to make an effort, aren't you, Roger?
Yes. Yes, of course, Victoria.
Not worried about seeing this doctor, are you?
Well, not much point, really. He'll check everything out as usual, then say I'm in remarkable condition for a woman my age, meaning that he has no explanation for the fact that I'm still upright.
You've never told him of the significant contribution made to your well-being by elderflower wine?
No. I'm not going to make it too easy for him. Considering the amount of money Dr. Fenton charges, he should at least be able to arrive at a diagnosis without help.
Yeah, you're not worried.
Well, I sometimes think I should run a book on my body. You know, take bets on which of my organs it actually is which conks out first.
What odds on your liver?
Oh, rank outsider. 150-1. No, I'm afraid the heart's the odds-on favourite.
Ah. Which number did you say it was?
Oh, it's just over there on the right, the blue door.
Fine. And you'll be all right to get back?
His receptionist will call me a cab to the station. No problem.
Well, I might give you a call later, see how it went.
It'll be all right. And anyway, Anna, even if Dr. Fenton gave me the worst news possible, I'd still prefer it to the evening you've got in store.
Thank you very much, Delia.
Bye.
Well, quite honestly, Malcolm, I can't think why you bothered to phone me if you haven't got anything to say.
Oh, phooey. Well, it's hopeless, isn't it? I mean, either you go the whole hog and admit to yourself you're having an affair with little old Charlotte and you're going to deceive your wife and make proper arrangements for us to meet her. I'm getting sick of all this spur-of-the-moment stuff. Well, I couldn't have done this evening anyway. No, of course I'm not. You just have an overactive imagination, Malcolm. Yes, I know. No, what I have in prospect is the Night of the Living Dead, a dinner party given by my sister and her monosyllabic slab of a husband. No, it'll be absolute... I've got to go. My sister's at the door. No, not that one, Malcolm, the other one. Well, I don't see really much point in you ringing me again, but... All right, tomorrow. And yours. Bye. Coming!
Anna.
Hello, Charlotte, now. Are you set?
No, not quite. Phone went while I was getting myself charged up. Come on in, have a drink. Won't be a sec.
You look fine as you are.
No, not nearly dowdy enough for Victoria's friends. Need some costume jewellery. I'm sure they don't even let you into Beckenham if you're not wearing costume jewellery.
You are going to behave yourself tonight, aren't you, Charlotte?
Of course I am. When have I ever not? Here, have this to stiffen the sinew.
My sinews are quite stiff enough, thank you. Anyway, I've got the car.
Oh, well. All the more for other people. Now... I've got a really mega dowdy brooch and earring set I bought for that eightborn at Basingstoke. It's round here somewhere.
You don't need to be in fancy dress, Charlotte.
For Victoria's? I certainly do. Imagine if one of my chums saw me out in Beckenham. Social death, darling.
If it's that bad, what would one of your chums be doing out there?
Oh, I don't know. Researching a part in another eightborn. Ah, there it is. So, what do you think?
It looks perfectly ordinary.
How wonderful. Isn't it heaven when you get the effect you're aiming for straight away?
Oh. Charlotte, you're just being silly.
I'm making an effort, and you should be jolly grateful that that effort is being made.
Why?
Because it's being made for you.
For me?
Yes, for you. Vicky rang me and told me how upset you'd been about us rowing last week.
Oh?
That's why I'm going through with this whole charade. You don't imagine I'd obey Vicky's three-line whip for any other reason, do you?
Well...
Gosh, this is slipping down a tree. You were upset, Anna, weren't you? Victoria's not making this up.
Oh, well, obviously, I prefer it when you two are getting on well together, but look, we'd better be off, hadn't we?
Yes. You go down to the car. I've just got to check the answer pens on.
Right. I'll see you down there.
Won't be a min.
Are you coming?
Yes, yes. Of course, Anna, darling.
Are you taught that at medical school?
I beg your pardon?
Are you taught humming? All doctors have a hum, totally unlike that used in any other profession. No, that wasn't it. I mean the hum you all use when you're inspecting someone's body. No, not that one either. I suppose it's just that you're all afraid of committing yourselves.
Doctors, on the whole, Miss Hughes, face the other way, please, prefer to be in full possession of the facts before they commit themselves.
So a totally uncommitted hmm is a very useful way of buying time while you get all the facts together, is that it?
Yes, yes, I suppose it is. Sometimes, of course, it's quite difficult to get all the facts together.
Oh?
For example, when the patient seems unwilling to share all the relevant information.
Really?
When I asked you about your alcohol consumption, Miss Hughes, you replied, well, maybe a small sweet sherry at Christmas.
Yes.
Which I don't believe to be a full representation of the truth.
No. No, it was a joke, actually.
Any chance of getting away from the joke and towards the truth?
On the alcohol consumption? No, I don't think so, really, Doctor. It's a bit like asking a lady's age. You know, almost impertinent.
No, Miss Hughes, listen.
No, Dr. Fenton, you listen. I agree that there are circumstances in which my consumption of alcohol would be relevant. If I drove a car, for example, if I became violent, if I made a habit of passing out in the street and becoming a hazard to traffic, if, come to that, I ever behaved as if I were drunk. Since none of these things ever happens, I don't see that your question has any relevance to me. What do you say to that, Dr. Fenton? Thought you would. Well.
Yes? Here we are.
Yes.
2 minutes to 8.
Better wait. Be a disaster if we arrived early. Victoria might not have switched Roger on yet.
Charlotte.
She'll have to leave him on charge till the last possible moment. Terrified the batteries might run down while she's got people there. When that happens, he becomes completely silent.
Charlotte.
Mind you, not that anyone could tell the difference. You know, when Roger dies, it'll be weeks before anyone thinks of burying him.
Charlotte, I am not looking forward to this any more than you are. But Victoria has invited us to dinner. We have accepted her invitation, and the least we can do is try and make her evening a success.
Yes, I suppose so. It's just the thought of how she'll introduce me to all her boring friends. And this is my sister Charlotte, the actress, subtext being the boneheaded tart.
If you do overreact, you know.
Overreact? Me?
You have no reason to be jealous of Victoria.
Jealous? I'm not. Why on earth do you think I should be jealous?
Come on. It's 8 o'clock.
Oh, yes. Be a disaster on the scale of the Black Death if we were half a second late, wouldn't it?
Right. Let's just try.
What's that notice say over the front door?
Where?
Oh, no, sorry, I was hallucinating. Just thought there was a sign reading, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here."
Charlotte.
Is that wine breathing all right, Roger?
I'm not sure it dares to.
What?
Nothing.
Right, someone's here.
Yes.
Go on, open the door.
Yes.
And you really will try, won't you, Roger?
Well, I'll...
Stop! What? Don't open the door yet. What's the matter? I've still got my apron on. There. All right, Roger, let him in.
Hello.
Hi, Roger.
Hello, Roger, you old devil.
Charlotte.
Vicky.
Anna, darling, how lovely to see you.
Hear the results of the tests as soon as they come back from the lab.
Yes, yes.
I don't think there's really any cause for anxiety.
No, no.
You're going back to Kent this evening?
Yes, I'll get a cab to the station and be fine.
Well.
And you?
What do you mean?
Well, I know I'm the last patient you're seeing today. Your receptionist said that when I made the appointment, so I just wondered what you were going to do now.
Oh, why?
Sheer nosiness. If I'm curious about something, I ask. The worst anyone can do is not give me an answer.
Yes, I suppose that's true.
Which means you're not going to give me an answer?
No. No, I'll give you an answer. Not a very interesting answer, I'm afraid, but then mine is perhaps not a very interesting life.
Oh?
Right, after you've gone, I'll sign these few letters my receptionist has typed up for me during the course of the day, and then I'll go back to my flat, and, I don't know, cook something basic, maybe read, maybe listen to music, whatever, until I go to bed.
So there's no Mrs. Fenton?
Not now.
Oh, I am sorry.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you, but I require just sympathy and not condolence. Mrs. Fenton has not passed on from life itself, but only from my life into someone else's.
Ah.
Anything else you'd like to ask?
Yes. Since we both seem to be at a loose-ish end this evening, why don't we go out and have dinner together?
So, Anna, I'd like you to meet Melvin Norris. Melvin, my sister Anna.
Good evening.
Hello. Now, Melvin, Anna looked after our parents till Daddy died 6 months ago.
Ah.
And your wife died, what, 4 months ago?
17 weeks and 2 days ago.
Right. So, anyway, you two should have lots in common.
Well, actually, Victoria...
Now, if you'll excuse me, I must just go and titivate the guacamole.
So,
three sisters.
I'm very sorry about your wife.
Not half as sorry as I am.
Oh, no, but obviously not.
You didn't know her, you see. You had to know Sandra to understand just how much...
Oh, yes, yes, of course. It must be very difficult to stop thinking about the situation. And, what do you do, Melvin?
I'm a marriage guidance counsellor.
Ah.
And I see all these people through my office who've made total disasters of their marriages and don't appreciate what they've got, and I'm constantly reminded that I'm one of the few who actually found the right person.
Oh, yes, yes, it must be dreadful. I'm a dentist receptionist.
Oh.
Which I suppose is better in some ways.
In what ways?
Well, in the sense of not being reminded all the time. You know, I mean, but as Victoria said, our father died fairly recently, but at least my work doesn't keep reminding me of, you know, in the way that yours...
Why? Your father had teeth, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Sandra had beautiful teeth.
Oh.
Anna, I'd love you to meet some friends of Vicky and Roger. My sister Anna, Hilary and Hilary.
Hello.
They're both called Hilary.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, hang on, Trix. It's the only thing that is.
So, you're Victoria's other sister.
Yes. Yes, I am. And by a process of elimination, you must be Hilary.
Yes. And this is Hilary.
Hello.
And you know Melvin, do you?
Oh, yes. We've known him for... Well, we knew him when...
When Sandra was alive.
Yes. So how are you coping, Melvin?
Pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm... Listen, I'm so sorry.
No, you.
No, please, Hilary, you say what you were going to say.
I was just going to say what a nice room this is.
Ah. Yes, well...
Victoria's so clever with things, isn't she?
Things?
Things like rooms.
Oh, yes.
She's made this room really nice, hasn't she? Mm.
Absolutely fantabulous. One of the most exciting rooms I've ever been in. I mean, I'll never know how she thought of the idea of putting the carpet on the floor.
No, she is clever about things like that.
Some people can just see that kind of thing, and some can't.
Yes, Victoria can certainly see. She's one of the lucky ones.
Oh, I'll say.
Sandra could see things.
Yes. Do you have any children, Hilary and Hilary?
Oh, yes.
Three.
Ah. And I don't suppose your children are called Hilary, too.
No.
No, that'd be silly.
Yes. Yes, of course it would. Charlotte, can I get you another drink?
Wouldn't they, no?
Roger, I don't care. I don't care if you think our marriage has come to the end of the road.
No.
I don't care if you don't think we've got anything in common anymore. I don't care if you hate me.
No, I didn't say...
None of it is relevant. For this evening, none of it could matter less. This evening, we have invited friends for dinner, and our duty is to them. We are going to be civilized, even if it kills us.
Look, Vicky, I wasn't... See, what I said about the marriage, I mean, it's just a symptom.
I don't care. I am not interested. I am not listening. We will discuss this at the end of the evening when everyone has gone.
But I just feel...
Could you open the door, please? I haven't got a spare hand. And Roger, just pull yourself together.
Now, would you all like to come through to the dining room?
While I was married, you know, I wouldn't have done this.
Come out for dinner with me. I must say, you're getting a wonderful variety into your hmms now.
Thank you.
So, you wouldn't have come out with me because your wife was jealous.
No, because I would still have been working. I wouldn't have gone out for dinner with anyone.
Not even your wife?
Least of all my wife, I'm afraid.
Women don't like being neglected.
Yes, so I've discovered... Now I've taken my life in hand. I don't work late anymore. I leave my evenings free. But unfortunately, the person I leave them free for is now living with a quantity surveyor in Epping.
Aha. Something wrong with your timing there.
Yes, it's never been my strong point. In fact, my life seems to have been a sequence of right things done at the wrong time and wrong things done at the right time.
Same goes for most of us, if that's how you choose to look at it.
What do you mean?
Well, if you expect life to follow a pattern, you're destined for disappointment. If you just accept things as they come along, you cease to think of them as wrong things or right things.
And you can cope with them better.
That's the idea.
What a very sensible approach.
Hmm.
Is that how you've managed your life, Delia?
Good heavens, no. Mine's been sheer chaos like everyone else's. Come on. Let's have the other bottle.
St. Catherine's is a very good little primary school, as primary schools go. But it's the next stage that we find worrying, isn't it, Hilary?
Yes.
I mean, we can't see Vivian coping with the rough and tumble of the comprehensive.
No.
It's not snobbery, of course. We're just thinking in educational terms, and Hilary and I feel...
More
that...
Hilary.
Oh, thank you. That a child like Vivian, thank you very much, not every child, but a child like Vivian, would probably benefit from private education, don't we?
Yes.
Well, that sounds fine. You've made your decision.
But it's not as simple as that.
Oh, isn't it?
Oh, no. You see, there's the problem of the actual quality of the private schools in this
17 weeks and 2 days, you see.
But, Melvin, they do say time's a great healer.
Yes, I've been told that before.
I mean, I was once up for a part in a new David Hare play, and they called me back twice, and in the end it was just down to me and some other actress, and she was given it. Well, honestly, I thought I'd die. Literally die.
Like Sandra did.
Well, anyway, the point I'm making is that I did get over it. Vicky, can I have some more wine?
No.
Actually, I would have minded less if the girl who got the part had the tiniest modicum of talent and just slightly smaller feet, but...
You know, since Sandra died, I just don't notice other women.
Oh, thanks. Well, there are some men I'd try not to notice under normal circumstances, but when you're stuck next to them at some dinner party in Beckenham, you...
Charles, could you pass your plate, please? There. Roger, could you give me a hand with these? Roger.
What?
Could you give me a hand with these plates, please?
Oh, yes.
Yes, the school's whole approach is so uncompetitive that their sporting record is abysmal, isn't it, Hilary?
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that sport is the be-all and end-all of everything,
but
I do think...
Oh, I suddenly remembered I have to make a phone call.
Victoria, could I just use a phone?
Of course. You will excuse me here,
of course.
So, Melvin, now you're on your own, what do you do for sex?
Come on, Delia, where are you?
You're asking for a lot, just a little consideration. You're embarrassing our friends. Look, all I wanted was a nice, civilized evening.
Oh, oh dear.
Victoria? Where's Roger?
He's gone out.
Out?
Where to?
Into the shed.
The shed? The garden shed?
Yes.
Now, excuse me. I must go and give my guests their clapouti à la bordaloo.
I'll be with you in a minute.
Melvin!
I'm sorry. I thought I could cope. I didn't realise. I'm sorry.
But you haven't had any clapouti à la bordaloo.
Charlotte? I'm sorry, Victoria. I'm out of here.
But Charlotte!
Thank you enormously for having me, but I'm afraid I can only take so much. I'm going to get a cab. Goodbye.
So how long have you been feeling like this?
I don't know. 3-4 months, I suppose.
And it really isn't the marriage?
No. Well, no more than anything else.
Well, Victoria thinks it is.
I know.
She thinks you've lost interest in her. She thinks you don't notice whether she's there or not.
Well, that's not the problem. It's everything.
Can't you explain it to her?
I've tried. I keep saying it's nothing to do with you, Victoria. You're completely irrelevant.
Well, that must cheer her up.
No. It's just, I mean, I know I'm not the most dynamic person in the world.
Well, I
know. You don't have to disagree. It's a fact. Boring old Roger never says anything, does he? Doesn't matter, though. Victoria makes up for it. I know that's what people say.
Who cares what people say?
It always seemed to me that you and Victoria worked, that you'd got a good marriage.
Yes, we had.
You sorted out your roles early on and then just got on with it.
Exactly. You always were very perceptive, Anna.
Thank you.
But now...
Now you're ill.
I'm not. I went to one of those well man clinics only last month. I'm fine. MOT with flying colours.
I don't mean you're ill in your body.
No.
You've got to see someone. There are people who can help.
Yes, I've tried to fight it. I kept thinking it'd go away and I'd suddenly feel better, but now...
Now you're going to get help.
Victoria will never forgive me.
Of course she will. When what's wrong has been properly explained to her.
I can't see myself doing that.
I'll do it.
Thank you, Anna.
You'll soon be sorted out.
Hmm.
Back to normal, your old self.
Oh, yes. Never was that enamoured of my old self, actually.
Your old self, but better. You will change, I promise.
Hope so.
And you'll even be able to enjoy Victoria's dinner parties.
Oh, I don't want to change that much.
Of course, that's the decision you made about Emily, Harriet and Benji's education, isn't it, Victoria?
Oh, yes. More coffee, Hilary.
Thank you.
Hilary?
Thank you.
Another mint?
No, thank you.
I will. No, I think one has to be positive about private education.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Too many people you hear these days apologising for the fact they've taken their children out of the state system, whereas in reality what they should be doing is asserting the positive side of their choice.
In A Nice Civilised Evening by Simon Brett, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, Celia Imrie, Charlotte, and Maxine Audley, Delia. Stephen Moore played Roger, Benjamin Whitrow, Dr. Fenton, Ronald Herdman, Melvin, and Mark Straker and Teresa Stretfield, the two Hillarys. The music was composed by Elizabeth Parker of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. No Commitments was produced by Paul Schlesinger.